Hawaii faces its own unique set of challenges in its efforts to convert to clean, renewable energy, challenges brought about in large part by geography. The isolation of the islands and their separation from one another have contributed to the difficulties of weaning our islands from the need to burn petroleum to produce electricity, which Hawaii does far more than any other state. The Hawaiian Electric Company has a legal mandate as well as a broad base of popular support for its conversion to clean renewable energy, and Peter Rossegg, its senior spokesman, is in our studio with a progress report. Hi, Peter. Thanks for coming in.
Chris, nice to be here.
You know, in the previous interview, we heard several, attractive-sounding alternatives.
Right.
Offshore wind, solar, all these other ways of producing energy that are catching on in small projects throughout the country. And it's easy to say, why don't we do that in Hawaii tomorrow? Why don't we?
Right. Well, all those things that you mentioned, offshore wind and more solar and more onshore wind and waste-to-energy and more geothermal, they're all in our power supply plan. Mm-hmm. That's going to get us to 100% clean renewable energy by 2045 or a little earlier. And everybody wishes we could get there more quickly.
Yeah.
There are two things about that. First of all, we don't want to go so fast that we commit to a technology that's replaced by something better down the road. So you do want to have a certain level of gradual acquisition of, mm-hmm. of renewables. And the other thing is, even if tomorrow the ship pulled into Honolulu Harbor with every wind mill and a wind turbine or every solar panel we needed to go, our grid is not ready for it. And mm-hmm. so we are spending a lot of money and a lot of time and effort on grid modernization, also on just hardening the grid against the weather. Mm-hmm. We are spending a lot of money on digital communications and digital technology that allows us to integrate more solar, more wind, more of these other kinds of, especially the kinds of energy that are not totally dependable, and like a power plant that a traditional power plant is, whether it's fueled by petroleum or by biodiesel or any other kind of liquid fuel. So we have to do these both these things, and while the renewable energy projects are much more visible, the grid upgrades and the things like that are harder to see and yeah. harder to understand.
Why does the grid require updating?
Sure.
To adapt to solar and wind.
For about 100 years, we've had an energy system where we had some big power plants in the middle of the spider's web, so to speak, that
right.
sent power out in one direction out to the customers. Now, as we all know, we have a system that sends electricity in many different directions. People are generating power on their rooftops. People mm-hmm. are, we have wind farms here on Oahu up on the North Shore and in Kahuku. We have solar farms, most of them out, big solar farms, most of them out on the west side, and there's going to be one in Waipio. And so the grid that was designed for a one-way flow and served us well in that regard now has to be adapted to the flow of many different kinds of energy from many different sources. Mm-hmm. And the energy business is not an overnight change business. I mean, McDonald's can bring in a new hamburger tomorrow and change it again in a few weeks. But the kind of investment that's needed to upgrade the grid, to bring in investors to build these power plants and build the wind farms and solar farms, these things all take years.
Yeah.
And, we can't go much. We certainly wish we could go faster, and we're trying to move forward. We're at 26% renewable energy as of the end of last year, which is better than anywhere else in the country that I know of overall, and the average for the Hawaiian Electric Service territories. But, of course, we need to go further.
We also have what's our percentage from petroleum?
Well, since we're at 26 for renewables, we're at 74 for everything else.
For everything else,
and
yeah.
that means overwhelmingly oil, although we do have some coal generation here on Oahu. I'm not sure. The coal is probably 6 to 8%, something in mm-hmm, that range. But mm-hmm. Fossil fuel of one kind or another is still, it's as of last year, as of December. We don't have our figures for this year yet. Obviously, mm-hmm. Was it something like 74%? And most of that's oil.
Nationwide, we're seeing an abrupt shift in direction from the previous presidential administration away from clean, renewable energy.
Yeah, that's certainly troubling on a national and international scale. For Hawaii, the Clean Power Plan that the Trump administration is now looking to abrogate didn't have a lot of effect on us to begin with because we don't use mainland coal. We have no nuclear. Our oil and the little bit of coal we use here pretty much all comes from Asia. So we were never under those kinds of injunctions. And frankly, we're so far ahead at 26% renewable energy. We're well on our way to meeting state laws for the reduction of greenhouse gases. We're so far ahead, other utilities look to us to ask how we do it. Whatever happens, we're not changing our course. As you said, the community supports going to clean energy. We think it's the right thing for our customers, for our community, and for our company, frankly. And we do have laws. We have the law that requires 100% renewable energy, and we have to reduce greenhouse gases by 2020 to about 16% less than we were generating in 2010. Mm-hmm. And we're well on our way to do that. And nobody's talking here about turning back on any of those things. Nationally, you know, we'll have to see what happens with this clean power plan and how much the Trump administration can delay or change things. And I'd like to think it's a bump in the road and it's not there's so many utilities going to clean energy. There's so many utilities trying to get off coal in the United States and abroad. I don't think we're not doing enough right now to deal with climate change. And this is not a helpful thing, but it's not going to reverse things. And it's not going to, very frankly, I think whatever they decide to do will be tied up in court for the next 4 years. I mean, we see how other things, Hawaii taking the lead against the Muslim ban and so forth. So I don't doubt that as soon as the EPA, the EPA tries to undermine the Clean Power Plan totally, that they're going to be in court. But, we're just going to continue doing what we do and hope that the rest of the world keeps going. Many countries are more committed than the United States to this, so that's where we are.
One of your challenges as a communicator, Peter, is it's always tough to talk about things that take time
right
to the public. You know, the whole balance, you know, the answering the question, why don't we just have wind power for everything tomorrow? Part of that is just the sheer explaining to the public amount of not just how much, but how long it's going to take, right?
Right. And that's why I think your previous guest and her project to be out there and looking at these things is to the good. You know, I've found again and again that if I can sit down with somebody for 20 or 30 minutes and explain the situation, they come away from that perhaps not convinced that of everything that I have to say to them, but they come to realize that we face the challenges and we're making a good faith effort. And, for many, many years, the electric utility industry sort of said to people, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. You don't really have to worry about it. Well, that's changed. People do have to worry about it. People have to make decisions in their own lives that will affect, whether they're going to put solar on their roof or whether they're going to get energy efficient appliances or whether they're going to get an electric vehicle. So they have to understand things that they didn't have to understand before. Buying a light bulb today is a little bit of a PhD challenge, right? It used to be you went into the store and it was 40, 60, or 100.
Right.
Now you have to read the labels. Life has gotten more complicated in that way. But we just have to patiently try to get to people and try to explain why this is in their own interest, because people are concerned about their pocketbook, they're concerned about their environment, and they're concerned about the reliability of their electricity. And those are the three things we have to work on all the time.
We'll be keeping track of that in the years to come, Pete. Thanks very much.
Anytime. Glad to see you, Chris.
Peter Rossegg is Hawaiian Electric Company's senior spokesman, has been with HECO for 15 years. He's also a member of the HPR Community Advisory Board.